Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. You know that. And this is Professor Greg Stevens. You also know that, right? You should by now. We've been doing this a long time.
Yes, sir, we have.
And talking about covenant partners, one of the most beautiful examples of that. And my father in the faith, Oral Roberts, also used this in talking about his partners holding him up. I remember him saying, I was listening to it on tape, and he said, "I must be the tiredest man on this planet," but he would never quit. Now, by this time, I was partnered with him. Gloria and I partners with his ministry. And then we were in Detroit. And my boss, Bob DeWeese, he was captain of the airplane. I was flying co-pilot to him. Yes, sir. He came to me. He said, "Kenneth, we're not ever going to get these people prayed for." He said, "I'm going to set you up a prayer line." Oh, yeah. Let me at them, you know. And, Greg, it was amazing that Evelyn said, Oral Roberts' wife, she said, "Kenneth, it's very strange. When I'm watching you lay hands on people, it's almost like watching Oral."
Mm. Mm.
She said, "I can almost see him in you." Well, I was his partner, working right with him all the time. He was the tiredest man on the planet. Somebody had to hold up his arms.
Yes, sir.
And it was his partner.
And what you're referring to is the first battle with Amalek, when we go to with chapter 30 of 1 Samuel. It's Amalek that is come in and taking everybody from David. David went, and of course everybody got the blessing of that. But in Exodus chapter 17, verse 16, God will say this concerning Amalek: "Because the Lord has sworn," now he swore this, "the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation."
That is a covenant oath.
From his mouth.
Yes. Yeah. Hey. Look at that. Go ahead.
So he will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. That war has not ended. That war will end in our future. Remember where this all started, where David was? He was up in the Jezreel Valley. Where's the Jezreel Valley? We know it as the Valley of Armageddon. There will be a final battle when the covenant, the one who ratified the covenant, Jesus made the covenant with God, he will come and destroy the spirit of Amalek once and for all.
Now, I want to mention that again. The covenant cannot be broken.
No.
Because it's between the Father and an immortal man, Jesus.
Yes.
So when we accepted him as Lord and Savior, we entered into that covenant. Well, of course, we're not perfect like he is. But all you have to do is go over to 1 John. Yes. The very first chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most precious articles of our covenant is, let's just go over there.
We were remastered into him, our spirit man.
Verse 5, chapter 1. "This then is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light,
mm.
and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light of his word, in the light of this covenant, we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. He's righteous. He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yee-haw!
Glory.
That's covenant.
Yes, sir. Now, the rabbis refer to Amalek as children of darkness. You just read children of light.
That's right.
They'll refer to Hitler as a son of Amalek. They'll refer to Haman as a son of Amalek. Everyone that comes against the covenant people of God is operating by that spirit. So this is the descendant of Esau. That's what they teach. When they came out of Egypt, all of the nations feared them because they said, Rahab even said, we know what your God did. He defeated the most mighty army on the planet,
yes, sir.
The Egyptians.
Yes, sir.
And everybody was in fear, except Amalek said, we don't fear him. We don't fear God. We don't fear them. And we're going to prove that they are beatable and would attack them from the rear, picking off, you know, and just pestering them all the time and tormenting. And because he didn't fear God, God said, he swore from generation to generation. And that's why he said his name would be blotted out. It'll be blotted out in the end. Yeah. All the sons of darkness, and we're the children of light. Jesus will preach that over and over
yes.
and over. Paul will teach you that you don't be asleep in the light, you know. So, and when you look at this, the first battle that we have with them is with Moses. Moses will go to battle with the Amalekites. And what'll happen is, you know the story, he will fight them. And he, as long as he had his hands up, they won the battle. And when he became weary, like Oral Roberts said, I'm the most tired man on the earth.
Yes.
When he became weary, he needed somebody to hold his hands up. That's what you were there. This is why you were able to pray for people in that anointing. You're mm-hmm. one of those Aaron and mm-hmm. Hur that's holding the hands up. Mm-hmm. Do you realize you get a blessing out of every Oral Roberts University graduate that graduates this year?
Praise God.
Begins to walk, because
yes.
that's still going.
Yes, it is.
That original partnership you had with him is still going. If you've partnered with Kenneth Copeland Ministries, every KCBC graduate that comes out of here and starts a church, and everybody that gets healed in that church, everybody gets saved in that church, you're part of it.
That's right.
Bless God.
And then the churches that come off of that. And then the field ministries that come from that. It's like the axle. For me, the axle was Oral Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
And then Oral Roberts University. And then it goes out to the spokes. And then the ripple effect takes charge. And we have partners. I was right in this room the day that I heard the Lord say, I'm going to give you 1 million partners. You'll be the biggest Holy Ghost gang on the earth. I got so excited, I knocked my cup of tea over. I said, forget it. We'll clean it up later. Gloria was sitting there with me. We were both kind of starry-eyed, you know. 1 million partners.
Praise
We're
God.
On our way.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I'm one of them.
Yes.
And my children will be one of them. And their children will be one of them.
Well, and I'm a partner with this ministry.
Yes, sir.
Of course, I tithe into the church. But I partner with this ministry. And it's, oh my.
Think about now Moses, he's fighting these Amalekites and he's tiring. And who helped him out? Aaron and Hur. Aaron's what? He's the priest. So that's that church, that's that ministry side of that. Is he coming together?
I love it.
And as long as his hands were up, they won the battle. And so these two men hold his hands up. That's partnership with yes, him and with the guys. They're not fighting the battle, are they? Or are they? When Moses has his hands up, is he fighting the battle? Kinda. They're after, I mean, he doesn't have a sword and he's not whacking somebody with it, but as long as his hands are up, we're prevailing. As long as he's being lifted up, he's prevailing. So he has a spiritual side of this.
The general of a fighting force.
It was his plan.
Is his plan, and he is sitting someplace out of harm's way because you don't need to be losing the general over
right.
this thing. And but he's fighting a war. He's fighting a war. You could say it like this. The troops are fighting and he's running the war.
That's right.
He's running this war.
That's exactly right.
Now, I liken that under General Patton. General Patton was a gutsy, no-stop kind of a man. Wouldn't quit. Flat wouldn't quit. Bastogne was under siege by the Germans. Coldest winter in 50 years.
Yeah.
And Patton called for the chaplain. Write me a prayer.
Yes, he did. Make it a good one.
Make it a good one. He said, well, I don't know what I should. He said, I'm not asking you to pray it. I'll pray it myself because of my intimate relationship with the Almighty.
Yes,
that's it. I'll pray it myself. Thank you very much.
Just write it.
Just write it out for me. And he did. Most famous prayer ever prayed by a general. There was cloud cover to where the Germans were moving armor and every kind of other thing under cover of this cold, foggy weather. In less than 24 hours, it lifted in its bright sunshine. And in came the bombers. And it literally ended the war.
That's right.
So Patton was the general. Moses is the general fighting this fight.
Patton got a priest, got a pastor to write him a prayer.
Yeah.
Give me something from the Word so I can pray it in his position of authority.
Yes, he did.
As the general of the Third Army. See what's happening here? Moses, in his position, has a priest holding his hands up, hers holding his hands up. They got two guys holding his hands up for the battle. And as long as his hands are up, the battle is won. That's covenant partnership.
Yes, it is.
Now, really interesting thing that happens right there in that whole story with Moses and Aaron and Hur, God's going to reveal himself in a whole new way that he's never revealed himself before. He reveals himself as a new name, and his name is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, or the Lord my miracle, you could even say in Hebrew. So he's the Lord my banner in this. See, when you go to Amalek and you look in the Hebrew at his name, who this guy is, he's grandson of Esau, the rabbis teach. His first initial of his name is Ayin, it was the I. It's a symbol of the I. And it has the same value in the numbers. Hebrew has value in numbers and letters. And it's Sophic, and it means a cut eye or spiritual blindness. His whole name is a lack of faith. That's Esau.
Yeah.
All of these battles, the battle David's fighting against the Amalekites, the battle that Moses is fighting, it's a faith fight, Brother Copeland. It's spiritual blindness, the eye, and no faith. The Hebrew word for Moses when his hands are up, and it says that they held him steady. That word steady is emunah in Hebrew. Emunah is the word for faith.
Yes.
Faith is praise the steadiness God. In battle. The steadiness in battle is faith.
Peter would write the casting of all your care over on him because he cares for you.
That's right.
Satan, as a roaring lion, comes seeking who he can devour.
That's right.
Whom resist steadfast in the faith.
Steadfast in the faith. That's the same word.
That's the same word.
So when they were in spiritual warfare in both of these cases. These are spiritual warfare. Why? Because it's Amalek. He doesn't respect the covenant. He doesn't respect God. He's not in faith. That's part of what Amalek is about. He's cut off from faith. He's a doubt and disbelief. So in spiritual warfare, faith is the steadying force. You've got to remain in faith. This is why he let those guys stay back. They're too weary. They can't stand in faith. You guys stay here, stay with the provisions. We're going to go do this and come back. This is why he rewarded them. It took faith for some of those guys to stay back. I mean, it really did. I want to go fight. I'm just too tired to fight. I've been there. I've been there in battle. I'm so tired. Brother Copeland, we're flying missions, and I had an IV port in my arm. We were so sick, all of my flight crew that I was on, had the privilege of serving with. We had a little port with an IV, and we just taped it on us, and we were combat medics, and so we could put IV solution in anytime we needed it to keep going. But I know what that is, to be at that point that you're so tired that you can't go on. We didn't have any choice. We're going to take care of ourselves. We put an IV in, and we just left it in and kept doing missions until we got relieved. But David was wise enough to let them stay back. That was a good decision, actually. And all of these guys received part of the blessing because this was a faith fight.
Yes.
And when you're in a faith fight, you need a covenant partner and you need a covering. And now more than ever, America needs, I know why he told you to have a million partners, because now more than ever, this country needs you. The world needs that covering and that faith. They need that faith covering.
Yes.
Now more than ever. So it was a spiritual attack. David was about to side with the wrong army. They didn't trust him. They sent him back. And because he wasn't where he was supposed to be, you know, he was with them, his city got raided by an old enemy that we had fought before. There's one thing I hate. I hate fighting the same battle. I mean, even in marriage and stuff with Michelle, I don't want to fight the same argument. We've already fought this argument before. We won this when this one's over. I don't want to fight the same thing over and over and over. But this is what's happened with David. Because he'd gotten out of faith, he's back in faith, and now this faith battle, and as a result, he gives the spoils to everybody. Because we're in covenant partnership, we all in this spiritual battle, because Amalekites are not faith people, so they can't see it. It doesn't make sense to them. Mm-hmm. And they're going to expose you. That's what Amalek was all about. I'm going to expose them, that they're not as strong as we think they are. They're not as bold as we think they are. They're not as tough as we think they are. And so he would strike to the rear, just little hits in there. And this is why Saul was told to kill him off, and he didn't do it. That cost him. But David now has taken the battle and taken all the spoils. So we will win if we'll stay in faith and fight the spiritual battle with spiritual warfare. That's why he inquired of the Lord. He was triumphant.
Praise God.
And we will always be triumphant in Christ Jesus when we use the right weapons of our warfare. They are not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds.
Mighty, dunamis, through God for the pulling down of strongholds.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
And that's what we have. We are kings and priests. We can put that ephod on. I can put that mantle that's on you. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Spiritually, in prayer. That was on Oral Roberts. That my days with Brother Hagin. I can put that. I can draw on that. Not looking at you as the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah.
Absolutely.
But that anointing that's on you to do that faith battle, you've taught me faith.
Well, on my birthday, December the 6th, mm-hmm. in 2020, I heard this just boldly. 2021, a year of divine healing, a year of divine health, a year of divine prosperity, and a year of divine recovery. Mm. From the 42nd chapter of the book of Isaiah.
Amen.
It said, there was no one to say, restore. Mm-hmm. What did God tell David? You'll restore all.
Restore all. And he did. He didn't just do it with his men that were there. He sent it to all the cities of Judah and restored it all. His generosity to all of them.
Praise God.
To all the leaders of the cities. He had learned a lesson. Don't try to do this by the flesh.
That's right.
This is a faith fight.
And we're out of time.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank
Jesus.
You, Jesus.
Isn't this marvelous? Brother Greg and I will be back in just a moment.
My name is Cynthia Shepherd. I was stationed at Fort Bragg, and I was in the first Desert Storm. And when we returned, I started going through, oh my gosh, I just started going through things. And so I turned the TV on, and it was Kenneth Copeland. But once I got a hold of what he was teaching about the Word of God, it took the scales off my eyes. I felt very free for the first time in my life. Every morning I would get up and listen to the broadcast on through my computer. And then I would also have the downloads, you know, that he has for partners that you can download for free, the MP3 and MP4, you know. And so I would listen, you know, that would be my time for devotion and getting the breakfast ready and this and that. I went on my run. I would run down 101st, 5 miles down, 5 miles back. But this particular day, I did that, and I came in, I laid down. I could barely get up off the bed. It felt like I wanted to pass out. Well, as the Lord would have it, my daughter's friend came by. Hey, Miss Cent, she said, how you doing? I said, I don't know, sweetie. I said, I really think I need to go to the hospital. And she took me to the hospital. And the moment I got out of the car, the nurse came out with a wheelchair. And she said, oh, don't you take another step. You sit down. So they did the blood test and everything. There wasn't a heart attack or anything. They did an x-ray. There was nothing there. He said, Miss Shepherd, I don't understand this. He said, but if you don't mind, I would like to go and do another check. And he came back and he said, Miss Shepherd, you have cancer. I said, no, I don't. I said, I appreciate you doing the test, but I don't receive that. And he said, well, if you do your fist like this, that's the size of the cancer that was in my lung. And a couple of weeks later, I went to the VA in Fayetteville, and I presented the evidence to them. They faxed my information to Durham VA, the chief oncologist and the chief radiation oncologist were touring at the VA. Dr. Salema from Duke Medical Center called me and said, Ms. Shepherd, we happen to be touring here, and we see your information come up on the screen, and we would like to take on your case. And I'm thinking, this is all God, okay? Yes, sir. When do you want me up there? Well, I didn't know at the time that it was stage four. And so I chose the radical treatment. As I sat in the chemo chair, I had my computer, and I would be listening to Kenneth Copeland, and I would put it on auto, and I would listen to all his messages. And some days when I did have a little energy, then I would listen to the CDs. After a few months, it was like you could see the difference. People could see the difference. I was upbeat and cheerful, and my nurse was like, we watched you come in here, and we have seen people leave here that's been diagnosed with stage one. But you came in with stage four, and we watched God shrink all of that. And I have Kenneth Copeland to thank for that, helping me to understand that I have dominion, I have the authority, and he has taught me how to speak with authority to whatever's trying to invade my body. And so that was December of 2015, and May of 2016, it says here, stable mediastinal lymph, whatever, no evidence of metastatic disease. May was 4 years cancer-free. No evidence. I believe Christ didn't survive the cross. He defeated the enemy, like Brother Copeland said, in open combat. So I'm not saying I'm a survivor. I'm a defeater.
Back in the very early days, Greg, of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, the Lord said, make Friday offering day.
Yes.
Because people have heard the word all week long. So then there's faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Yes, sir.
And then minister for a moment or two on the offering. So in the 6th chapter of Galatians, verse 6, let him that's taught in the word communicate or respond unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For if he soweth to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Isn't that good news? Mm-hmm. That's Amen. Covenant. Yes. That's covenant talk. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Now, there you are. Don't be weary. God will hold your arms up. Praise God. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And it's become part of my vocabulary. All is well in the household Amen. Of faith. Amen. Those that live by faith never have to change their lifestyle because Amen. Of the times.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for all of our partners and all of our those that are joining with us to become partners. We love them. We receive them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for it, Lord. This is a trying time, but nevertheless, it's a good time for those that live and walk by faith. For the Scripture says the just or the righteous shall live by faith. Well, when we were born again, we were made the righteousness of God in Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you. Thank God. Thank you. And let the Lord lead you in the area of offering. We pray over it. And we'll see you next week. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland reminding you again that God loves you and we love you. And Jesus is Lord.
Yeehaw.